Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 10 to 14. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn her over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, and you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see your heart, and you shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord will be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Galatians chapter 6, selected verses. Brothers, if anyone caught in any transgression, in you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you to be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let one who tests his own work, and then his reason to boast, will be himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever he sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows his own flesh will from the flesh of reap from corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not now grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be from it, but far be it from to boast except the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by his rule, peace and mercy upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the mark of Jesus. The grace of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you, your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I hope you had a fantastic 4th of July. Now, 243 years ago, American patriots revolted against King George III of England, declaring the English colonies in America to be an independent nation, independent from the British kingdom. This section in Luke is sprinkled with references to another kingdom. In Luke 9 and 10, Jesus made a series of references to the kingdom of God. Here's the story. At the beginning of Luke 10, Jesus and his large entourage began their final journey to Jerusalem and to the crucifixion. Providing for a traveling crowd is a challenge. So Jesus sent out 72 of his followers in advance into the towns and villages that they'd soon be entering. Their task was to announce the good news of God's forgiveness in the towns along their route, and welcome into their ranks those who recognized their sinfulness and sought God's forgiveness. They were also tasked with securing provisions for the group as they made their way to Jerusalem. Jesus emphasized to these 72 ambassadors that they needed to be keenly aware of their own complete and total dependence on God. That's why Jesus insisted that they pray. That's why he compared them to lambs in the midst of wolves. That's why he required that they carry no money or knapsack or extra sandals. They were completely dependent on God. And Jesus wanted them to see God providing for them. In some towns, they were well received. In other towns, they were not. But well received or not, Jesus insisted that the kingdom of God was going with them wherever they went. So what is the kingdom of God? We tend to think of a kingdom in political terms. Some think that the kingdom of God is a just and ethical society that we can actually create through political activity by simply electing the right people and legislating the right laws. But that's not what the kingdom of God is at all. Not at all. Jesus made it clear to Pontius Pilate just hours before his crucifixion, saying, "My kingdom is not of this world." Read John 18. And Jesus refused political power and glory when it was offered by Satan at his temptation in the wilderness at the very beginning of his public ministry. Read Luke 4. And in Colossians 1, the Apostle Paul wrote this, "For he has rescued us from darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." The chief characteristic of the kingdom of God is the forgiveness of sins. Theologian Michael Horton wrote, "If you tell me about the God who is King of Israel or King of the world, and don't tell me about the forgiveness of sins, that's the worst news I could possibly hear." We live in a highly politicized environment where so many people now use political preferences to define faith. It used to be that a Christian was someone who subscribed to the Articles of the Apostles or the Nicene Creed. But in some circles today, a Christian is defined as someone who holds particular political preferences. And I'm not saying don't be involved in politics. What I'm saying is that when the Bride of Christ becomes a political action committee, it ceases to be the church. I think abortion is a holocaust in our country. I think in most cases it's immoral. In the past, Marta and I have been politically active in the fight against it. My views have never changed. At the same time, a position on abortion is not an article of the Nicene Creed. Whether I like it or not, a particular position on abortion does not determine if one is a Christian or not. Same thing on capital punishment, or gun control, or immigration, or gay rights, or anything else political. That's not what the kingdom of God is all about. So don't be duped by the media, right wing or left wing. Citizens of the kingdom of God are broken people who've been saved by grace through faith in Christ. And this is not of their own doing. It's a gift from God. so that no one can boast. Read Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Citizens of the kingdom of God are simply recipients of a gift who are called to love our neighbors. In a seminary class, I heard a definition of the kingdom of God that stuck with me. The kingdom of God exists where the gifts of God are given and received. Gifts like mercy, compassion, and the forgiveness of your sin. God help us if we don't recognize the treasure that we're given as citizens of the kingdom of God. God help us if we trade the kingdom of God for a political kingdom. The kingdom of God comes when a person of any age is baptized into Christ. It doesn't look like much, but according to the Apostle Paul, that person is drowned and then made alive, killed and then resurrected with Jesus. Read the beginning of Romans 6. Baptism is God at work. It's more than symbolic. The kingdom of God comes when you kneel to receive the bread and wine of communion that somehow, some way, contains the body and blood of Jesus and conveys to you forgiveness. The kingdom of God comes when you sing the lyric, "Streams of mercy never ending." And as you sing, you're reminded that God still loves you and still accepts you and forgives you anyway, regardless of your sin and failure. It comes in the words of the liturgy, borrowed from John the Baptist, as you sing, "Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world." And as you sing, you catch a glimpse of God's compassion and mercy toward you. And you realize that your most implacable problems and fears will be resolved. That somehow, some way, everything will be okay. The kingdom of God comes in the words of absolution, forgiveness, and in the words of benediction, blessing. The kingdom of God comes when we are reminded of our status as sinners who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and covered up in His robes of righteousness. You are forgiven and reconciled with God, who promises to never leave you or forsake you. So relax and be at peace. The kingdom of God is at hand, and you belong to His kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your great compassion to us who belong to You. Lord, help us to consider our status as Your children and as citizens of Your kingdom, and cause that realization to fill us with gratitude toward You and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.